Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the EFL Fantasy Podcast. My name is Angus.
And my name is Dan.
And we're here to review the Game Week 45 action. The last game week before the final day when almost everything will be decided. we will obviously talk about our takeaways and look ahead, mainly via your questions to the final day of the season. First things first, Dan, how are you?
Yeah, not bad. A few more games left in the Premier League. It's dragging on. Green Arrow in Gaffer this week, so makes a change recently.
Yeah, it was a nice little one there, sort of seeing a Green Arrow again. Sort of forgotten what that felt like, so that was quite nice. Nearly at the end, I think the way particularly my season sort of drifted, well, it's drifted for a while. It's sort of like, okay, just sort of drifting to the finish now. But ready to sort of have a bit of fun perhaps on the final day. Just one last sort of hurrah. So we will talk about sort of our main takeaways from the Game Week 45 action. And we will get into your questions, some of which are easier to answer than others. First we'll talk about how our teams did. As I said, I got Green Arrow, I had 97 minus 4, so 93 net on triple-triple, which wasn't incredible. I had Hladkin goal for 6, I had Van Ewijk for 7, Walker-Peters for 4, Davis was part of my triple-triple for 39, Carvalho 5, Philogene 4, Dewsbury-Hall and Mavadidi 1, Sims part of my triple-triple 12, Wright 12, and Chaplin the other part of my triple-triple for 6. So that didn't really go incredibly. A Green Arrow, and that's always nice. And like I say, I'm now just sort of looking forward to taking a punt or two on the final day. How did you do, Dan?
Yeah, so I played triple-triple as well. I got 121 minus 4. My transfers in were Van Eyrick, Sims and Wright for Walker-Peters, Rhys and Adam Armstrong. So I brought in the three Coventry guys. Very similar team to you, Angus. Hladke 6, Van Eyrick 7, Pereira 8, Davis 39, Carvalho 5, Philogene 4, Dewsbury-Hall and Mavadidi 1s, Sims for 12, the second part of my triple-triple. And the difference is I had Wright as part of my triple-triple and he got 36 instead of Chaplin for 2. So yeah, that's a Green Arrow up to 85th, which was I think about a 30-40 place Green Arrow, which is nice. So hoping to stay in the top 100, but I'm gonna have a bit of fun like yourself, maybe take a minus 4 minus 8 just to have a bit of fun, to be honest.
Yeah, I think there's some of it where it's shaped up quite nicely. I think for some of those final day punts, there's some of them that are a little bit awkward. Like, you know, we've talked about previously about picking players against Rotherham. They're at home against Cardiff, who are sort of very depleted at the moment. So it's sort of like, do you really want to do that? You know, some of these teams don't necessarily have the easiest games. And so it's sort of... But I think we'll be able to identify a few in there. But we'll cover some of the sort of our key takeaways. The first one I'm going to go with... Actually, no. I was going to go with something else. The first one I'll go with, no, I will do it. QPR beating Leeds because it helps talk about Leicester as well. So it's fine. I could talk about Leicester while I'm talking about this game. QPR 4, Leeds 0 on Friday night. I know there were a few people who thought that QPR could get something from the game. I certainly didn't think it would be easy for Leeds. At the same time, I did not see 4-0 QPR coming. You know, as much as anything else, it was kind of just a clinical performance from QPR in terms of a lot of the sort of better chances they created, they took. It's kind of that simple. Chair obviously got the ball moving early, which makes a big difference in a game like that. Anderson, Dykes, and Field all then added to the score line. Big result for QPR, and we've sort of talked for a while about how impressive they've been. I worked out in terms of the points they've got under Cifuentes in terms of points per game, if that had been the case for the whole season, which obviously there's a little bit of messiness in projecting that sort of thing because you can't guarantee that they would have done the same over the whole game, but they would be eighth in the table, just to paint a picture of the sort of side they've been since he came in. It was obviously massive for them because it secured their safety. I didn't think they would end up going down. I thought there were just enough teams below them. But the fact that they're secure going to the final day obviously makes a massive difference to them. It also guaranteed Leicester promotion back to the Premier League. So it was a big swing at both ends of the table. Leicester, I think, have subsequently guaranteed top spot ahead of the final day. So they will be getting the trophy on the final day. But. And it put Leeds at, puts Leeds at a disadvantage with Ipswich, picking up 4 points from their two games, giving them a 3 point lead over Leeds. But in terms of this game in particular, I thought, you know, Leeds weren't sort of like a disaster, but you know, like I say, QPR were just very clinical in this game, and I thought they made the most of it. I thought Chair was good. I thought, you know, Dykes did a decent job. You know, they just had a really good, sort of effective game, I guess is the best way to put it. And yeah, massive problem for Leeds now. I mean, obviously they go into the playoffs and they will, like, their playoff record is terrible, but they will obviously go into the playoffs as favourites, just by virtue of being the best team talent wise in it. Like, we've seen that the favourites don't always win it, but they definitely will be the favourites. Albeit they've never been promoted through the playoffs.
Don't worry about that, Angus. Luton had never gone through up through the playoffs, something like that was our seventh time, so yeah, it doesn't matter. A lot of these players weren't even playing the last time they were in it.
Yeah, and I think that sort of, well, two legs, or if you get to the final single elimination, I think that's where the bonus of having players like Somerville, like Rutter, like, you know, sort of Nonto, Dan James, that in that sort of setting, that's where that should show up big. We'll see whether it does, but this was certainly a day to forget for them. Actually, a massive day for QPR. It went about as well as it could for QPR. You know, they were ahead from early on. They kept adding to it, so they, you know, it was, they just basically were able to have like a party the whole time. They got to get Albert Adoma on the field for sort of a cameo in his final home game for them. So it, you know, it really was sort of everything they could have wanted from the game. And so, and just all credit to them because we've been talking for a while about how well they've been playing. And I think that, you know, it's sort of justification for them to be secure ahead of the final day.
Yeah, I agree. Couple of the goals from set pieces as well, so can be if it gains fine margin. I know this one wasn't, but you can win a lot of points from being good at set pieces. Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what QPR do over the summer. I don't think they're gonna have a lot of money. There's Willock's apparently could be off, so yeah, it'll be intriguing to see what they do. Leeds just got a reset now. Obviously, that they can still get promoted on the final day, so I'm guessing they will go fairly strong against Southampton. Southampton probably will put out a reserve side, I'm guessing, or near enough. So yeah, and I'd expect Leeds to get to the final. Whoever they play over two legs, it's not one leg, it's two legs. And Leeds have been the second or third best team in the league, and there's quite a points gap. So over two legs, I would expect Leeds to get to the playoff final anyway. Yeah, Leicester, pressure was off Angus, weren't it? So unfortunately, he decided to rest all the players, key players. I tell you, if you've had Fatu over the last few weeks,
I
I'll
know if
start
you've had him
listening.
on triple triple in 44.
Yeah, absolutely killed it. Yeah, I'm hoping. I've got a feeling though they'll go pretty strong though in their last game at home. It looked like they done the resting and let everyone have a go against Preston. So yeah, I'm not getting rid of Mavadivi and Dewsbury Hall ahead of that Blackburn team.
Yeah, it'd be tough unless we get sort of confirmation from Maresca where it's sort of like he's going to bring them back in or he's not. It becomes quite
Yeah,
tough to get rid of them, really, because if they do play that fixture,
they
particularly
could
with a
hammer them.
party atmosphere, could be
Yeah.
great to have players in. But yeah.
Do you think of Vardy as a punt? I've not owned him all season. The only striker I've owned is Tom Cannon.
I'm
How
not
can
going
you have
back
the
to him.
fourth choice? You're not
I had
going.
that
You
disastrous
owned
bit of
him.
owning Vardy where I went for it. It didn't work. I sold him and he started returning. So I totally get it, but like part of me is like, is the final game? I think they will play Vardy.
Could be he's out of contract as well, and obviously with the financial trouble, like you don't know if they'll offer him. I think they will, but probably on
Yeah, I think
reduced
now they're
terms from what
promoted,
I've heard.
they'll work something out. But like otherwise, I'd sort of be like, oh, is this, they sort of go back to Tom Cannon for a game or something like that. But I think Vardy probably does play. I don't mind it as a punt. It won't be for me, but I can totally see the logic in it. Yeah, he looked like he enjoyed the celebrations afterwards as well. I saw his like full length slide along the pitch after like with a full running start and almost going head first into the advertising hoarding, so that was quite fun. But yeah, I think it's interesting. I think we do have to talk about Ipswich. It was the mad game. It was really entertaining actually, their game against Hull. Really enjoyed it. Three all in that game. Hull keep their hopes alive of the playoffs by getting something from that game. Ipswich ultimately that was enough for them because they then went to Coventry and won. They now only need a draw against Huddersfield on the final day to get promoted. And I think it was you saw some rotation in there, although I think certainly one of the key players across the two was Omari Hutchinson. I think that's the difference that's been made to them. We talk about a lot, quite a few of the players having come up from League One. Particularly the second half of the season where they've kept this up. It's been the extra quality they've had, that extra sort of step up, the Hutchinsons, the Kiefer Moores, Jeremy Sarmiento has had some big moments. Players like that that they've brought in for the second half of the season, and across these two, Hutchinson gets the two goals against Hull. Moore obviously gets them going against Coventry. And I think it sort of perfectly summed it up, although the second goal, I'm sure everyone had Burgess down as being a goal scorer this game week. But yeah, and so I think it's great sort of double for them. It sort of put them in a really good position. Like I say, I really enjoyed the Hull Ipswich game. It had something for everyone in terms of the sort of attacking play there. I will say, particularly for the second Hutchinson goal, if anyone from Hull would like to, get within sort of like 5 yards of him, that would be great. He obviously finishes it well, but like you couldn't give him much more time to pick his spot if you tried. But yeah, it just sort of showed the importance of some of those players. with the likes of him, George Hurst obviously coming back into the lineup and getting a goal.
And
Burns, who came back in and looks to have got injured again
injured, did he? Yeah,
against
missed him back.
Coventry, which is a real shame for him. At least it looks like being slightly less impactful than it would have been if they were going into the playoffs, because I think they would have wanted someone like him going into the playoffs, where at least if it's sort of like promotion, you're then sort of like, right, go sort of take your time to do your recovery, etc., etc.
So with Ipswich, we've both got three. I think we've got the same three. Surely Chaplin just comes back in. That was a team specific why he didn't play, do you think?
I'm a little bit confused that he didn't come on at all. That threw me a little bit. I expected to see him come on, particularly when Wes Burns got injured.
Yeah.
So that surprised me a little bit. So slight question mark there for me. If there's any indication he won't play, then obviously I'll
Yeah,
ship
then
him
I'll get
on.
rid, yeah.
But like, I think if he's fine, like it might just have been okay, we'll give him this game off, like that sort of thing. Then that's fine. But if there's any sort of issue around him, then it really will be sort of like, right, move him on. I think he's at an easy point with some of these other sort of forward punts you might want to take on the final day, that I think, it's not necessarily a problem, but I assume we'll get some sort of indication. I mean, McKenna might have said something already and I haven't seen it, about why Chaplin didn't even come on, but also the fact he was on the bench suggests it wasn't anything particularly bad.
Might be illness, where he's
I think
if they
he did
desperately need.
say they were clear of all the illness, because obviously they have had significant sort of illness issues,
Yeah.
but you never know. I mean, like I say, hopefully there'll be some sort of indication whether it was just rest or something like that, because if he's going to play, then yeah, I think it's because they still have to get something from the game. You still have to imagine they'll be looking to go
Be
strong.
stronger. So if you say you only have two, who's the punny player?
It's
Is it
Hutchinson.
Hutchinson?
Hutchinson.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Particularly with the Burns injury, it makes him even more nailed to play the final day. I like him anyway. Obviously, we talked at one point, when I sort of did get him in, the last time Burns got injured, and it was another one of these players where he didn't return when I had him, and when I sold him, he started returning. But yeah, he's sort of, playing really well at the moment as well. They're clearly sort of quite reliant on him at this point, so I think he's the big one where, if you've potentially got a midfield opening, or you just want to take a final day punt on something like that, I think it probably is Hutchinson.
We've seen it recently that Huddersfield could collapse, so that could be a 4-5 goals, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's one of those where, particularly for them, where their only chance is quite a significant win. But also, if they get word in, say, like Birmingham are winning or whatever, or Plymouth are getting something, like, does that have an impact? That sort of thing. So, yeah, it's the sort of game that could go pear-shaped quite quickly as well. In terms of sort of other things, we've talked about him quite a bit. So I'm just going to mention Latte Lath. A lot of people obviously sold him with the doubles, and he's just kept returning. Azaz obviously went big. He's done quite well since coming back into the team, particularly in this sort of 4-2-3-1 system.
You know, including his Plymouth spell, he's got a double double, so 10 goals and 10 assists this season.
It doesn't surprise me, just because of how close he was, I think, when he joined Borough, that this little
Yeah.
flurry feels like it was enough. Matt Clark with his first Middlesbrough goal. Alex Gilbert also with his first Middlesbrough goal. He's another one that I think is going to play if you have a particular feeling about Middlesbrough. I know there's a thing about it, because they obviously brought him in the summer from Brentford, and he hasn't necessarily had a great deal of football this season. I think Carrick did say, particularly, it might have been ahead of the weekend or it might have been ahead of the previous game, that he wanted to get the likes of Gilbert some gains. So that's just another one to throw out there, not sort of completely overreacting to him scoring a goal, but if you're looking around for things.
I mean, that's a crazy pun, Angus,
Oh,
if you're
yeah.
going for Gilb.
But, you
What
know.
about, I know we sort of went on, we talked about Ipswich, but we should probably talk about Hull.
Yeah.
We've obviously got options. I've got three. I've got the goalkeeper as well. But we have seen Liam Delap come back
Yeah.
into the side. He's a punt that I like at the minute. I can't believe I'm saying that after his season last year, but they're going to need to win the game, and he's playing up front and with Philogene, Carvalho, even someone like Tufan if he plays as well. It's yeah, I think if Liam Delap starts, I think that's a nice punt.
Yeah, I mean, I think that goal, his goal against Ipswich, that's a proper striker's goal as well. That move across
Yeah, great movement.
towards the near
Yeah.
post. Like obviously it's a great ball across, but that's a proper striker's goal there. And I think yeah, you can do much worse. Like I'm in a similar boat in that I would have to sort of make two moves with having the three Hull,
Yeah.
but like I'm
We
not
won't go.
concerned about that, to be honest. Like if I
Would do that.
If I look at it and sort of come the weekend, I'm like, Liam Delap is the best move for me. I'll do it.
It's fair enough. I think I probably won't.
But because I've got
Not
the
that I don't
three
like it.
mids, it's a bit different for me as well.
I
Like,
okay.
so
Yeah.
people
I've
like
got
you
the
have a
goalies.
goalkeeper or whatever, you're not going to make a goalkeeper transfer in game week 46. Like, that's got to be the saddest thing in the world. But for me, with going for the three mids with Carvalho, Philogene, and Omer, it's a bit easier for me to sort of flip that into a minus four if I decide that's the way I want to go. But I was quite impressed by him, so I do agree that I think he'd be a decent punt.
What about the other two playoff teams that are still fighting, Norwich and West Brom? West Brom had a terrible result. They're really bad form at the minute. I can't go near anyone from West Brom. What about Norwich? It feels like they are there, but it's not a crazy like goal
Yeah.
difference where it could happen. Do you think they take a risk and rest players, or do you think they'll win the game and then hopefully rest players from 60,
Yeah, my
70?
guess would be that they aim to sort of get the game won, get like Sargent off early, get Sara off early, like, but go about it that way because it feels like it's too risky, sort of going in with that approach, being behind and suddenly having to chase it. So I think that's the way they go. I think Sara and Sargent in particular are good options. I think maybe one of the wide players, if you sort of like one of them, just because I think that there could be goals in that game. Birmingham probably. Well, Birmingham needs something from that game, which could make it, a bit more interesting.
I do wonder though with Raul if he'll just stay in the game till 60, try and nick a goal, or then go for it right at the end.
Yeah, quite possibly, but I mean, someone like Saints as well. I think, particularly, perhaps for anyone who already has. Sara, potential sort of punt alongside him, particularly if you think they're going to do well in that game. I think Saints could be a decent option. West Brom, I'm not touching at the moment. I wasn't as surprised as a lot of people to see them lose to Sheffield Wednesday. We've talked about 3-0 surprised me, like as in I'm just saying purely the result, the, like as in the, you know the in terms of getting the win, particularly at home. But I didn't see 3-0 coming, and any ideas of going West Brom have like gone out the window. Also, wouldn't surprise me to see them drop points against a Preston side with nothing to play for and end up out of the playoffs. Like.
So that's the playoffs relegation. We briefly mentioned quite a bit about Huddersfield and Birmingham. Plymouth obviously have that game against Hull. Are you advocating for any Plymouth players? Morgan Whittaker?
Obviously we know they've theoretically been better at home, and I think if you're sort of like looking at teams with something to play for, like I know some people will be like, I'm not buying anyone from a team that has nothing to play for, which is totally fair. Plymouth are one of the teams with something to play for, so Whittaker's the only one. Like I wouldn't even dream of looking at anyone other than Whittaker from Plymouth, but
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be look even be looking at him personally at this point.
Yeah, I think that pretty much covers it. Obviously, we've mentioned Blackburn, they can still go down. People will still have Sammy Smodics. I'm not sure if you'll play him against Leicester, but he's going to be top goal scorer, so he can score against anyone. Do you like a punt from Sheffield Wednesday? I know you've quite liked Sheffield Wednesday for a while.
I do like Sheffield Wednesday. They're another one. They've been sort of a mid-table side, and I think that they've been sort of assets that have done quite well. I have to sort of finish off talking about Ugbo again. it's inevitable, really. He's probably not as high up like. When I talked about him previously, he's not as high up the forward punt as I would normally have said, but I do think he's decent option. I also really like Josh Windass. I know I've talked about Josh Windass before. He's sort of been chipping in, particularly he was out for a little while with injury. Since he's come back, he's sort of been playing. He's been playing well. That system plays to his strengths. And so I don't hate him as a punt, but I probably wouldn't be sort of rushing to get Sheffield Wednesday players. Despite the fact that I think it's not necessarily a terrible fixture for them, the way Sunderland have been playing. But yeah, so I think we've covered quite a bit. Let's get into the questions
Yeah, I
because I
think,
think we'll
yeah, I
we've
agree.
covered off some of what people have said, but also what some people have asked, but we can sort of address what people want to know or try. Some of it, we'll warn you now, we've read some of the questions. Some of it we're not really gonna know. So Chris Hermitage said, what side do you think Leicester put out? Think I'll take Mavadidi out, so keen to know what midfield punts you feel are best to have fun with on the final day. So I think Leicester probably will go strong. I think there is an element of like, particularly with someone like a Mavadidi, I don't hate selling that. Like it's a risk, but like
Yeah.
I think there is a chance that he's that like someone like McAteer just gets another game.
I don't know. I think because it's at home. I'm not saying Mavadidi plays like 100, 90, 100 minutes, he could easily play 70, 80. And if word comes out that suddenly Blackburn have to win the game or something, and Mavadidi can then start countering on that Blackburn defence. I don't know. Especially as he's been rested as well. I think I'm keeping Mavadidi. I can understand why people might want to get rid, but
But if people are selling him, midfield punts for the final day to replace him.
Azaz.
Yeah. Or Gilbert.
I'll get burnt by Azaz like I did regularly during that spell. It's so hard, isn't it? I
Yeah,
know you've.
I'm gonna throw out Jamie Patterson. I had a
Swansea.
nice couple of game weeks when I picked up Jamie Patterson. But home a home game in the final game, yes, Millwall have been tough, but I think that he's someone that could be a nice little option actually.
I'm going to go for a couple old time's sake. Clark for Sunderland. They've been terrible, but if it gets fun in the sun and Clark turns up, if he does anything, he'll get bonus. So that could go well. I'm also going to mention Chair from QPR. Coventry, they're just going to go and score goals. Yeah, like I'm hoping this is going to be something like a 3-2 or something. So yeah, he's on set pieces. Yeah, I like Clark, not Clark, Chair as well.
No, I totally agree with that. I think that's a good shout. And I
Yeah.
mentioned
Really
Borja
good.
Sainz. I think that's potentially an interesting
Yeah.
one.
Also, obviously, Hutchinson, if you is probably
Yeah,
a no-brainer.
yes.
He's probably very
yeah.
high on the list.
Auto closed down. At what time will Dan turn his phone off on Saturday?
Oh God. Do you know what I'm seriously gonna do? I'm gonna have a tweet set up just congratulating everyone, and then yeah,
Then just leave
I
it.
don't know. I don't know.
Let people have
It'll
their
be pretty
moment.
busy. Yeah.
makes sense. FPL Frog has asked, which Birmingham triple up should we all go with this week? Asking for a nervous friend. So I think this is where I mentioned my sort of favorite one for this week. My favorite one for this week is Jay Stansfield.
I can't go with him, Angus.
So Jay Stansfield, for clarity, if you look at Jay Stansfield's returns, you can find a Plymouth connection on the opposition in almost every game. Jay Stansfield, who is an Exeter City fan, obviously his dad played there. He, had the amazing story last year of going there on loan, wearing his dad's number and all of this. I think he scored in both games against Plymouth. And if he can help Birmingham win that game, he has the chance to relegate Plymouth.
Yeah, I don't hate it, but I owned Stansfield for three games and he got about 6 points. He might not even have got that.
Yeah, so this theory, obviously, there's a lot of projecting in there. There's a lot of believing in very sort of like intangible things. But this guy's clearly motivated by his deep anti-Plymouth feeling and the fact that if they win, he can relegate Plymouth. I'm just putting it out there. It could be a good option. Other than that, I mean, the keep rotating is from play. Maybe someone like Miyoshi, we've talked about him before. Bakuna seems to be in and out, so I'm not even sure I'd go with him.
To be honest, this is the sort of game where Bakuna scores two
Yeah.
screamers and gets sent off.
So maybe it is Bakuna, but I'm certainly not going near a defender. I can tell you that now. So yeah, but I'm quite a big fan of this Stansfield theory. So yeah, so that's my big one there. Pemberton Gaffer has said, who is the one player you haven't owned all season that you wished you did? That's a very good question because I'm not sure how many, like, there's a bunch of players that I've like owned for
Do you
like a
know
week or two.
what? Like, yeah, because I'm not sure if, especially as we played that free hit as well. I had some rogue players on that free hit. And also I would get mixed up with years.
Oh, I know what the answer
Okay.
is for
Go on
me.
then.
I mean, after my Ugbo shout and not
Oh,
going
he's
for
got
him,
the,
he's
yeah.
got me in.
Can't remember. Did I end up owning Sakamoto?
Think
Can't
so.
remember if I did.
On the
In the free
underhaul,
hit.
on the underhaul, yeah.
Yeah, Underhill. I'm trying to think. It might be. I'm trying to think of a player that I've been saying I'm gonna go with, and I never did. So, because I have gone like rogue strikers, I have gone
Yeah.
like Latte Laff and thing and Stansfield and things like that. Think it might be someone like Chair or someone like that.
Yeah, that's fair. Like it's
Or Fatawu as
yeah.
well.
I went with him at one point and it didn't go to plan, so Alexander Chow, which are the best midfield options for this week and some wild punts, please? I think we've covered that
You
off
mean
quite well, particularly getting down to like
Angus
Alex
Seth
Gilmour.
Gilbert? Yeah.
We've mentioned Alex Gilbert and Josh Windass on this pod. I think we've got wild. And the best
You can only
ones, I
get
think
wilder
it's.
if you pick like Rotherham or someone like
Yeah.
that.
I think the best options, it's still sort of the whole guys. Leicester, particularly if we get an indication about who's going to play. Somerville still. I know it's
Ipswich.
not the easiest game, but. And Hutchinson. I really do think Hutchinson is among the best midfield picks this week. Billy Hadaway, best final day differentials. Also, what would you do with Sims and Wright? So I
This
think,
is tricky because they're just going to attack Coventry.
yeah.
And now QPR are safe. I'm hoping it's like an end-to-end game where you get some of these games at the end of the season where it's like a 4-2 or something like that.
Yeah, so I think one of them is potentially sellable. That's the sort of thinking I've got, particularly in terms of like, you've asked about differentials. I think we've mainly talked about midfield differentials. But
Yeah.
whether it's, Jay Stansfield, whether it's someone like, I mean, Kiefer Moore feels like he's a little bit of a differential again. Whether it's someone like,
Surely Hurst will play, right?
yeah, that's tough because they've just done the split. It's like, okay, who's going to play? We'll see. But, someone like that, depending on Bamford's
Leicester
injury status,
striker.
someone like Pirro,
Leicester striker. If we'd find like Vardy.
Latte
But
Lath, who we've mentioned like over and over
I
again,
like Delap as well,
Delap.
I think.
And so I think particularly with some of those, like if one of those particularly takes your fancy, coming off one of those Coventry strikers is probably the way to do it, assuming that everyone at this point is sort of going with like two, it has like two Coventry and an Ipswich.
You tell me which one you're getting rid of, and I'll do the other one, Angus. Okay.
Yeah, that is definitely. I will do a public service and tell everyone which of the Coventry strikers I'm getting rid of. But yeah, so that hopefully gives you some of the differentials as well. Ron Mukherjee said players and teams to target for the final week who have something to play for. So I guess we should probably clarify what the situations are. Because that, I think, then helps people identifying who they want to go for. So, for automatic promotion, Leeds can get promoted with a win, but only if Ipswich lose, based on goal difference. If Leeds win and Ipswich lose, Leeds are up. If Ipswich get anything, they're up automatically. Hull can get into the playoffs if they win and West Brom lose or Norwich lose.
There's a
And
goal
if
swing
Norwich
now.
lose, there has to be a 7-goal difference swing between them and Hull. And that's it, really. At that end, at the bottom, Huddersfield are effectively relegated. They are 3 points behind Plymouth and 15 goals behind on goal difference. So while they're not officially relegated, barring something truly wild, they will go down. You then have Birmingham on 47, Plymouth on 48, Sheffield Wednesday and Blackburn on 50. So obviously, Birmingham have to get something from that Norwich game. If they get a draw and Plymouth lose, it could be enough if Plymouth lost heavily, because there's 4 goals between them on goal difference. Otherwise, if both of those win, it would be Sheffield Wednesday or Blackburn, depending on their results. So, I think in terms of teams that have something to play for, I think you're looking at Ipswich, Leeds, Hull, potentially Norwich, and if you,
That's cool.
I'm not going near West Brom. And if you like one of those sides that's battling out for relegation, or a player from one of those sides who has something to play for, whether that's a Smodics, whether that's a Whittaker, whether that's a Stansfield, whether that's a sort of Windass or whatever, if there's something there that appeals to you, then go for it. But I think you're probably looking at the ones at the top end, who still have something to play for there. Ron also asked, also some popular players who you see getting rested on the final day.
Southampton.
Southampton, I think, we saw the great debate after Russell Martin said he was going to leave out a bunch of players, who's been rested, who's been dropped, with him sort of changing like half the team.
He'll probably do the other half this
Like,
week.
do some of the likes of Adam Armstrong and Adams get some minutes again? It's not a particularly impactful player, but someone like Flynn Downes, I assume, will get rested, because he's been a bit of a doubt. Sort of getting him, making sure he's right for the playoffs feels like a big deal for them, that sort of thing. Leicester, we're sort of assuming that they'll play quite a strong team, but anything could happen with them. We've talked about the likes of could like is
Brighton play.
yeah like could it be someone like Margle Brighton? Like there is that sort of
That
element.
could happen. Because Fatter we played. Didn't he?
Yeah, so it's just
I
like,
reckon all Brighton starts.
could someone like Margle Brighton get a game? Could someone like Connor Cody get another game? Chowdhury back in, that sort of
Yeah,
thing. Like,
because Pereira played the other day. I think Pereira might not play, so.
that could be one. Just trying to think of anyone else. Like mid-table, you get into a little bit of a mess. Like, we've talked about some of the Coventry guys. I assume they play, but it wouldn't shock me if any of them were left out. There was a lot of tiredness out there.
I do wonder if like any players on loan, they probably just won't play because manager might be looking at a few other things, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's much else, but I think that's some of the ones to sort of potentially cover. And then Ron also said, cheers for all the work you guys have done on the pod and team news spreadsheet throughout the year. Thank you very much. We will sort of do something after the season, and at that point you can tell us how amazing we are. Nonstop FPL, what's been your biggest surprise of the season? Team, player, result, etc. Ipswich. Like, even the most optimistic people, well, there were a few people who sort of tipped them for promotion, but I think a lot of it was around, oh, they'll have a good season and finish like 10th and that sort of thing. And the fact that they've kept up this sort of pace as well. Yes, they've made smart additions to the team and everything, but a lot of it was based on projection. We talked, even early in the season about like we hadn't really seen George Hurst do it in the championship. We hadn't really seen Nathan Broadhead do it in the championship. Leaf Davis, it's in a little bit, but not a lot, and that sort of thing. And the fact that all these players have sort of played such a key role is sort of all credit to them. I'm just trying to think. I mean, Sunderland, I know we were sort of talking about them potentially taking a step back. I think the extent to which they have surprised me.
I predicted them to finish second.
So I think they're the other ones sort of looking down, like they've really surprised me. So it's probably them too. Anyone else, whether it's teams, players, results?
Smodics has to be
Yeah.
as a surprise. Like, was he 28, 29? I've always rated him, but for him to get 20, what, 25 goals,
Yeah.
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think that's probably sort of, quite an easy list almost. FPL Nash, what to do with Southampton and Leicester assets?
Southampton, I would get rid. Leicester, I would keep. I might get rid of Pereira though.
Yeah, I think it's
I
sort of
think that one.
like a lot of what we're saying at the moment, particularly around Leicester, is sort of like hopefully we get some sort of indication because obviously that makes a big difference. I think if we do, then obviously that sort of shapes things quite significantly about do this, don't do this. Southampton, I feel like all bets are off on what sort of team they're going to put out. Unless there's something else that you particularly need to address, they might be sort of whatever final day punt you're looking to take, it might be coming from a Southampton player.
Yeah.
Petri Ananen said, thank you for the season, Angus and Dan. Love you guys. Thank you. Love you too. He said, I am 13 points behind in my mini league. I have already Johnston, Sara, Wright, and Moore as differentials compared to my rival. One, whom to buy as one more differential. Two, whom to captain and vice captain to differentiate. I'm going to say if you don't have three Ipswich already, Omari Hutchinson. I feel like you've
Yeah.
gone quite hard on the Omari Hutchinson idea. If you do already have three Ipswich,
I think it's a striker, isn't it?
yeah,
It's Delap or Laff or Vardy or something.
it's your striker of choice, whether it's Laté Láth, whether it's Pirro, whether it's Vardy, Delap, Stansfield, whatever your preferred punt is, I think that's the way to go. In terms of armbands, particularly involving those players,
It's really hard. It's probably an Ipswich or a Leicester player. If you think you know, you start.
I was going to say I really like the idea of going for an armband on Sara.
I don't hate that.
Ashley Barnes came on and got injured, so you'd assume Sara plays the 10 again. And obviously he's great wherever he plays, but I think he's had an incredible run when he's been playing the 10. So I think there's potential to sort of even captain him while he's playing there. So that might be your solution, and then someone like an Ipswich player as the vice captain. At least in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, it's really hard because
Yeah.
if Maresca goes, yeah, Vardy, Dewsbury Hall, Mavadidi
They become standout options at that point. Jeruzagiza said, "Hi, Dan and Angus. Thank you for all your hard work. Why was Chaplin benched yesterday? Do you think he will play? Who do you think is the best captain for the final game week?" I mean, I'm guessing we've sort of talked about this, guessing it's a rest for Chaplin, but assume we'll get more sort of an explanation if we haven't had it already. In terms of the best captain for the final day overall, I know we just talked about some of the players from those options, but best captain sort of just overall for the final day.
All I'm gonna look at is like who can, like what team could hammer another one or score goals. So Leicester, Ipswich. I've got a funny feeling about that Coventry game. I just think
Both
Coventry,
sides.
yeah. If it gets to a point where Plymouth are losing and they need a win, the
Yeah.
whole guys could go off as well.
I
It's
think the whole guys could go off anyway. Like, it wouldn't surprise me.
yeah.
And like I said,
It
I
really
really
does
like Sarr
depend.
as well.
There will be a t you normally get like a team who are losing and they just capitulate because they're attacking. So yeah, it. I'm not sure there is a set one. It's
No.
going to be interesting to see who people
Yeah.
pick.
I'll be quite interested to see how sort of the captaincy splits for the final day. There's also all it feels like there's always one game where there's like nothing to play for that just goes off. And I'm not sure which game that's going to be. But
It'll
there's
probably be like
always one.
Stoke, Bristol City,
Stoke
and
Bristol.
we won't have any players in it.
It'll be Swansea Millwall.
Yeah,
Just goes
or Rotherham
mad.
Cardiff, Steve
Yeah.
Evans. Rotherham will win like 4-3 or something,
Yeah.
free from set pieces or something.
But yeah, so if you like anyone in particular, if you have a particular feeling about which game with nothing to play for is going to go off, then go with that one. And Niall Fairbrother has asked best final day cap striker captain punts.
I think it's because I think there's going to be a question mark around Ipswich
Yeah.
between. So I don't think it's a. You, I think it's Vardy. I think it is.
Yeah,
You know he's going to start.
yeah, particularly if there's any sort of hint, whether it's going to be him or someone else, if there's any sort of suggestion about who's going to play, then immediately really strong candidate.
I do like I keep mentioning like a Coventry striker
Yeah.
or a Hull or Delap.
Yeah.
I can see that working.
And depending on the Bamford injury status, I do think someone like Pirro could be interesting because he's got a point to prove as well. So it's just something like that could go quite nicely. But yeah, that's all the questions we've had. Thank you to everyone. Hopefully that was useful, sort of ahead of the final day. So I think we will record something post final day pre playoffs, just to sort of look back, review the final day. Obviously, there won't be any gaffer into the playoffs, but we'll sort of just look at back at the final day, look at what happened, sort of look ahead to the playoffs as well. Probably make some more predictions that we'll get wrong about what's going to happen in those.
I've got the last few right, Angus.
That's true. And yeah, after that, we'll sort of let you guys know we're going to do sort of some of the same stuff we've done previously, or at least look to. Obviously, previously we've done a pod with the winner. We'd obviously like to do that again. We'll wait and see who actually wins. We'll do something where we look back at our pre-season predictions. I know there are some tremendous ones in there beyond the obvious ones that people are waiting to talk about, like Dan's Ipswich thoughts. There are some tremendous pre-season predictions for us to go back to. I've seen a few of them, and yeah, we didn't do any better this year. And just as a sort of brief thing, People will remember not just, well, some people will remember, some people obviously have started listening to us since. The last Euros, it was just me and Jamie at that point that did it. We sort of podded about the Euros. We gave, similar to the World Cup game, we gave people an opportunity to pick a country that we had to be tripled up on in the fantasy game. All that good stuff. We will be looking at doing something again in the summer. More to come on that closer to the time because we don't need to get into that now, but just to confirm that that sort of will be on the horizon in some form as well.
Yeah, but we're not saying that Gaffer are doing it. Oh, we
Yeah,
don't
no,
know
we're
that.
not making any
Just to
commitments on
clarify.
behalf of the Gopher guys that they are doing a game. Yeah, just to make that clear, I think that is important. We're not volunteering anything, but we
Sean
will be.
listens to it, gets this point, going, I'm not making a game.
Yeah, just sort of horrified. But yeah, we will have something, and I think we might be able to persuade Jamie to come back for some of that as well.
He's too busy with cricket.
We'll
It's
find a
cricket
way.
season
We'll
now.
find a way. It's
He's
fine.
too busy on his lawnmower at the
Yes,
cricket club.
getting him off. No, he can pod from the lawnmower. That's fine.
Whole spot going.
But yeah, we'll clarify all this in due course, but just to sort of give a brief look ahead to the sort of thing we'll be doing as we get into the summer. Obviously there'll be a little bit of a break from the championship content because there's only so much point us talking about it in sort of the middle of the summer. Dan's trying to get me to think about teams for next season and it's not working so far. But yeah, so that's everything. If you do have any further questions, do let us know. There will be team news as normal, hopefully on Friday. My aim, obviously, because it's lunchtime kickoff on Saturday, is to have everything done. It might be a little bit later on Friday evening, but it will be out at some point on Friday, to help people sort of make their decisions there as well. All that's left for me to say then is thank you for listening and goodbye.
Bye.